God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. I'm going to come and sit down over here now, I reckon, so you can move back a little bit. He saw all that he had made, and in that Bible reading, he said, it's very good. Now, what do you mean? What do you think God means by very good? Like about, you know, if 10 is perfect, do you reckon he means like 6 out of 10? 7 out of 10? Very good. 10 out of 10. You reckon he means 10? That's exactly what he means by very good. Not 9 out of 10. Not 99 out of 100. Not even that. 100% perfect. 100% good. Not one thing wrong. Not one thing bad. Not even one tiny little, minuscule little mistake to make you go, So he made everything, including people. And he said about those things he made, about you, about us, well, actually not right now, but back in the beginning, he said, very good. There is no problems there. Now, we have some problems today, don't we? Yeah? I've got a problem. I get hungry. Right? Do you get hungry? Yeah, right. It sounded in Genesis 1 like no one needed to get hungry. But here we go. Here's what I want you to say. I'm going to go through some of our problems, and I want you to shout what's true in Genesis chapter 1 where it's perfect, which is that there was no problem. Got that? So can you say no problem? All right. Now, can you shout no problem? No. Okay. Shall we try it? Like that, right? Like we've got to get the hands up there. We've got to get the mouth big, and we've got to get the lungs engaged. Okay? So, I get hungry. Right, you guys are going to have to help. Hands up. Right, I get hungry. Because it's not a problem in Genesis 1. I'm scared of getting hurt. Because it's not a problem in Genesis 1. Bad things can happen to me here. It was not a problem in Genesis 1. I could eat too many lollies and feel sick. Is that even a problem? Not a problem in Genesis chapter 1. People get angry with us. Didn't happen in Genesis 1. We get angry with other people. Wasn't a problem in Genesis 1. Come on, the volume needs to go up, not down. Okay, we do mean things to other people.
No problem!
It wasn't a problem in Genesis 1, was it? Someone might take our stuff.
No problem!
Now you're getting into it. Not a problem in Genesis 1. So we're scared God might be angry with us.
No problem!
Because it wasn't a problem in Genesis 1. Scared that our lives will end.
No problem!
That's it. You guys have got it. There was no problem anywhere in Genesis 1, even though there's problems all around us today. It was so, so good. So what happened? I mean, can you imagine? God made it so, so, so good, and then someone ruined it. Wow. Someone ruined it. A bit like this. I've got a picture here I've been working on. Of a horse I've been drawing. Yeah? Do you like my horse? Okay, so anyway, I've been drawing away and putting the colours on. Yeah, that's it. Like that. You guys know how to draw, don't you?
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, and I'm quite pleased with that, actually. Yeah? Quite pleased with that. Imagine someone does this to it. That's a good face, as is that, as is that. Whoa.
Ow.
Wow, I mean, what do you think about that? How do you think I feel if someone has ruined my picture? Very, very sad. I might feel angry. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Now, there was no problem in Genesis 1, but by the end of Genesis 3, just two pages in the Bible later, there was a huge problem, because everything that God had made very, very good, very perfect, is broken. And why? Because the people that God had made decided not to trust the God who made them. And that meant every other person after them would be broken, all the way from them to us. And so we have all of those problems. We're mean to each other. We get hurt. We are scared. We make other people scared, and so on. Now, did that make God sad, do you think?
Yeah.
I think it did. Did it make God angry?
Yeah.
I think it did in a good way. But did it stop God from loving us?
No.
It didn't. I'm glad you know that. He knew what would happen. He had a plan already in place. One day, this is his plan, he would make everything new. Isn't that great? Here's my picture. It's kind of ruined, isn't it, really? Now, I've got some sellotape here. I could just, let me just try and pop this back together again. There you go. That's as good as new. You want to hang that one on your wall? Did I really fix that? That's pretty hard to fix, isn't it? Oh, dear. You know, I can try and fix it. I tried taping it back together. It's not quite as good, is it? I mean, it's actually not good at all. It's pretty terrible, isn't it? So, it's going to take a miracle to mend that, isn't it? It takes someone like God, actually. He's great, isn't he? We just sung about that. And so, is it the same with us then? That's my picture that's been broken. That was new and it was good and I was pleased with it, but it's been broken. It can't be mended. Is that the same with broken people and this broken world? Is there any hope for the lost dream of Genesis 1? Margie's standing there and I forgot that the Bible reading is coming. But please tell us about where the hope of that getting sorted out comes from. Thanks, Margie.
So our second reading this morning comes from Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 to 5. And you'll find that on page 1004 in the Red Bibles. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, 'I'm making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'"
So is there any hope for getting back that lost dream of Genesis 1? This broken world, our broken lives. Can we fix this world? What do you reckon? Do you reckon we can fix this world, guys? You reckon we can? We can't. We can or we can't? We can't. Do you reckon people are trying to fix this world? Yeah. I reckon people are trying to fix this world in all sorts of ways, but it's just hard. Every time someone does something really good, something really bad kind of does an opposite thing at the same time. It's hard. How is things going to get fixed? Can you or I fix ourselves? If we're broken, really fix, not have to work out how to change again and again and again, but actually be changed so you don't have to change again. Do you reckon people are trying to work that one out? Anyone here trying to work those things out? Absolutely. And yet, it goes on and on and on. We try and fix ourselves, but nothing really gets fixed. It seems hopeless to us. And that's why we read, not just from the start of the Bible, but the very end of the Bible just now in Revelation. God there lets us know what his end game is, what the final destination is, where everything is heading towards, or at least could be. Everyone is heading towards, or at least could be. Did it tug at your heart as we read those words from Revelation 21? Did it move you? No more tears. Both these stories that we heard this morning from Skip and Sean had many tears in them, didn't they? And a whole bunch of tears among us too. Certainly had that in my eyes listening to those stories. Why? Because of pain and harm, mourning and grieving those things. Those things, though, we're told in Revelation, are the old order of things, and they will pass away. And if that's true, if that's held there as a true thing, should that not stir us? Should that not grab our attention? We long for what's held out to us in Revelation. And the biggest thing of all, though, the thing that puts all other glorious things in the shade, so gloriously, blindingly bright it is these words. Look. Look. God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God's dwelling place will be with us, not separate from us, with us. Heaven, God's place, comes to earth. Notice it's not we all go to heaven. We heard about that a bit last week. We kind of do. But at the end of all things, heaven comes to earth, as it were. God makes a new heavens and a new earth, a new creation with God, without all this old order of things stuff. It's all taken away because Jesus on the throne says, I am making everything new. That's our big idea as we think about the end today. This is one of our short series on the end. Our big idea is that Jesus will make everything new. That is how broken stuff gets made new, with Jesus. Jesus is going to do it. The broken amended, the evil got rid of, the perfection of Genesis 1 restored, but actually more than restored, it's better. How so? Well, because the people dwelling there with God and the testimony they have is one of the love of God to them. The love they have. They're God's people who actually deserve nothing but judgment and his anger, but who, hallelujah, have been saved. Again, what a day we're thinking about this on. They've been saved through God's unrelenting grace. His love lavished on the unlovely, even on the unlovable, as we might think, to bring them to love him again. And how did God do that? He did it through Jesus Christ, didn't he? God demonstrates his love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, fully human, fully God, paying the penalty, the price, the debt, taking the punishment, bearing the crushing weight, enduring the incinerating intensity of holy wrath, focused in on him. And he did that for everyone. He did it for us. He did it for Skip, and he did it for Sean. He did it for you, if you want it. And when you understand that, it blows us away, doesn't it? You know, in the Bible it tells us that even angels, who are perfect beings created by God, but they're perfect, they long to look into these things. These things that are true of broken people who have been mended by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. They long to look into what's happened with Skip and Sean. that are now in Christ, who show that the new creation has come and it's begun with much more to come. So broken people are made new in Christ. So is this the hope you have for this world? Young ones, for this life, for your life? Yep, how's it going to get fixed? How's it going to get better than it possibly can ever get? It's going to be with Jesus, isn't it? And so is this a hope you can afford not to have? So firstly, will you be there in Revelation 21? Will you be there when Jesus says, I'm making everything new? Will you be a part of it then with me? I think I'm going to be there. And Skip and Sean, they think they're going to be there. Many others here think we're going to be there too. Are you going to be there with our great and glorious God, with many, many others who trust that Jesus has made us new, who has given us a new life of love to live, and who will take us through our life remaining here into a great future where this new heavens and this new earth will be made? Will you be there if nothing changes? And then we have to think, don't we, who then, you know, if we want to be there and we know that and we've got it for ourselves, who then else do we not want to be there? Huh? We think, other people. Who do we not want to be there? And if we don't want them not to be there, what do we want to do? We want to share. We want to profess. We want to help people understand this hope is there. They need Jesus, and we can tell them. Is anything more important? God so loved the world, we've already sung this in our service, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved the whole world. So this is how broken stuff is made new, how broken people are made new. This broken world can be made new, and it begins now with us putting our trust in Jesus. New creations in Christ. And this great newness project will be completed one day when Jesus comes again, when Jesus returns, and that will be next Sunday. No, we're thinking about that next Sunday. So come back and get that last installment of our series. We're going to be thinking about if Jesus doesn't come before next Sunday. I don't know whether you should pray that he won't come before next Sunday or not. But if he hasn't come before next Sunday, then we'll have time to sit and reflect and think through what the Bible says about when Jesus returns. It's going to be great. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus will make everything new. You've told us that in your word. We have a great hope in this hopeless world. There is something that you are doing that only you can do. And there is evidence of it right now as you save people, as you take us in all of our brokenness and need, and you bring us to yourself and you say, I love you. I've demonstrated that love. My son, the Lord Jesus, has died on the cross. Jesus, you willingly, for the joy set before you, endured the cross, scorning its shame. Father, we thank you for that great love. How good it is to know. I pray that whether we're young or old, we can understand it more and more every day and look forward to this hope that truly is hope, that can never be taken away. Amen. Amen.